Hello, everyone. This is Dark Journalist. Today I have a very special interview with intuitive mystic and esoteric researcher, Gigi Young. Now, Gigi sees heavy occult symbolism with the new promotion of transhumanism and virtual living. She sees that the teachings of Rudolf Steiner dealing with Ahriman and the Eighth Sphere will be our best defense against the technocratic takeover. Please join us now.
So, you know, you're just talking about being aware there. What are the dangers across the board if humanity does sort of kind of in a sleepwalking way encounter Ahriman? And what if Ahriman becomes, as a result of that, even more powerful? What is the challenge there, say, in 2050 with a full Ahrimanic? You know, if we fail in this period, what are the stakes?
I think the stakes is merging with machines, because I think that Ahriman's presence is really in AI. I think that he's so dense and he's so heavy that I think that he has to function in a machine. I really agree with your assessment on that. And I think at the end of the day, what will happen is that your body or your being will become too dense in order to feel itself.
Right.
So if you alter yourself too much or you abandon yourself too much, what ends up happening is that your higher bodies can kind of start to separate from your physical body. And
right.
Or your etheric body can, I think Steiner says that your etheric body can detach from you. And then it can become very, very hard to sense your spirit in your being. So even though we're all spiritual beings, of course, we're all made of spirit, we're all divine, we're all part of God, all of that, it doesn't mean that we are automatically going to evolve and that everything's just hunky-dory. We can incarnate into this physical plane and we can lose touch with our higher bodies and our spirit. And then what ends up happening is life after life after life, you sort of become more and more fragmented and less if you can incarnate into a body. It's kind of dark stuff to talk about. Nobody likes to talk about this aspect that you can actually dissolve your soul away by not taking care of yourself and by moving against Christ consciousness or by moving against the evolutionary impulse. You can actually begin to, like a form of cannibalism, dissolve your own self. And that's why cannibalism is such a huge thing in the dark occult, because it's mirroring this cannibalistic thing we can do by having the wrong orientation, going into the B system, going into the lower chakras, abandoning ourselves, this kind of stuff. We can actually cannibalize our own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is you get on this divergent evolutionary train, this divergent evolutionary path, or as Steiner calls it, the artificial path. Where you essentially lose your humanity and you eventually you'll no longer really be able to incarnate into an organic human body, and it'll sort of be the beginning of the end of your soul's journey in that particular case. Heavy.
Interesting. Is it so with the present period, it's almost like there needs to be, it's like a war against sleep.
It is. It's like, I feel like there's more and more stuff every day, whether they be, you know, like Elena Freeland has talked about with the various different soup of energies that we're in that are like entraining us, or, you know, it's our computer, or I feel like we're almost being entrained into this sleep more and more and more. But
right.
We really have to be alert and we have to be purposeful. And that actually does the opposite. Also something that Rudolf Steiner teaches is that when you become very purposeful in what you do, you stop being forgetful and your mind sharpens and your etheric body actually pulls into your physical body in a very succinct way, which means also your astral body pulls in a very succinct way. You become more and more powerful, the more alert you become, the more purposeful you become, the more you use your will. The more that you just kind of say, well, I have 5 hours today, I'm just going to bloop, just do whatever. And the more you sort of go with the wind and you're not using your will, also the more we can separate our, we can start to kind of dissolve ourselves in a way, or we can, it can become harder for our mind to develop when we can kind of degenerate, really.
Aside from, you know, someone could learn this kind of intuitive development through your site, for example, and the classes you teach. But just as kind of like a, you know, a one-off suggestion, how would you stay in touch with this will factor? Just by being engaged in an activity, even if it's gardening or, you know, a kind of mindfulness about something. Is that what it is? Is it mindfulness?
It is mindfulness. It is mindfulness. It's training yourself to recognize when you're doing it, recognize when you're going into a daydream, even if you are a psychic and you're looking to go into these altered states, you still want to plan it out and say, I'm going to do some psychic work and I'm going to go into a trance state and I'm going to look into X, Y, Z. You know, you don't want to just be like driving your car and then getting messages. Although that does happen to you, that's fine. But it's more
spontaneous.
Yeah. You sometimes, especially in emergency situations, or sometimes when you just relax, you're in your shower, you're doing something that relaxes you, sometimes your spirit guides will come in and say, hey, you should know this. Awesome. But we don't want to go into these long running daydreams where we're half out of our body and we're disassociated and we're actually investing our life force energy in a state that is a little bit disassociated. We want to be very present and really train ourselves. Whenever we realize that we're doing it, we want to come back and say, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to observe my breath, or I'm going to be very present in it. And you'll be surprised like how much you do it in like a minute. We are very like, I feel like, you know, we really do run with our minds, but you want to just keep bringing yourself back and keep bringing yourself back. And that'll bring you into alignment. Just keep watching yourself when you do it and then bring yourself back. And you can even just watch your breath. Another technique that psychologists will use for people who disassociate a lot is to notice five things in the room that you're in. Bring yourself back into the physical room, or touch yourself, kind of pinch yourself. Anything that would be suggested for people with disassociation disorders will work for this.
Interesting. So if you find yourself in that daydream fantasy state, in fact, you're vulnerable in a way, and you need to bring yourself back to a state of attention.
Yes.
It's like not as a kind of a hypnotic thing, but it's almost like, you know, when we hear about people repeating mantras and things like that, it's like you're trading one kind of hypnosis for another.
Yes. You're sort of allowing yourself to be, you're still relaxed, you know, you're still breathing. The difference is you're in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times, if you go too much in your head, like too much up here, what ends up happening is your essence kind of goes a little bit outside your body.
Right.
And so it's totally okay to be relaxed and to be in a little bit of like a trance state or whatever that is. You just want to be in your body. You don't want to start doing it out of your body. You can just bloop, you know, so.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, is it, that really makes sense, because you're centering and you have the ability then to integrate your physical body with your mind again. And, you know, like we know when somebody's on a psychedelic trip and they think, you know, they're looking across the cityscape and they see a bridge over there and they're like, oh, I can just go walking on the bridge.
Yeah.
Because the mind can go anywhere.
And it's like pointless. You know what I mean? Like, what if we just did purposeful things? And like imagine you physically doing it. Like imagine you physically doing something all like imagine you actually going and like dancing on the bridge and then coming back. And like imagine you were physically doing everything that your mind wants you to do. It you'd be like an insane person. You know?
Why it's are you like, staring at me when you say that? That's
because I am No, you're actually very you're actually probably not you know, you're actually pretty good. It's probably more like me. I'm talking to myself here.
This is really fascinating, though. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, what's a genuine out-of-body experience? Because, you know, sometimes I'll hear from people and they have very compelling experiences and I want to hear them all. Once in a while, you'll run across someone who says, this angel took me walking along and I realized that I was, you know, jumping over taxi cabs and things like this. And I say to myself, I think that there has to be some way to develop a foundation of what a genuine out-of-body experience is versus a flight of fantasy or worse.
That's true. Because there are different kinds.
Yes.
I think that, I mean, there's different kinds. I mean, you can definitely be drawn out of your body in like by your guides or by higher beings to kind of like save your life or to do something like that. The same thing can probably happen with possession or whatever that may be. But I think like a genuine out of body experience, and by that I mean something that is like satisfying to you, would be something where it's controlled, right? So like if you have even an angelic presence that's helping you or whatever, it's still not an experience that you are master of or control of. And it's not coming from like a crazy weird control thing. It's just that if we have the capacity to do it, if we have the capacity to astrally project, then let's do it in a way where we can really do it, in a way that we can control it, in a way that it can become a thing that we use to study the cosmos. You know, we can learn to read the Akashic records, or we can learn to do things in a very precise way, which when we do that, we actually end up integrating our psychic abilities. We actually end up integrating the ability and having it be like a tool rather than something that just happens when once in a while or by accident. You don't want it to be an accident. You really kind of want to be the magician in tarot.
Oh, yes. You want to be the master of the manifestation of those types of things.
Yes. And the beautiful thing is that the more centered you become in your life, the more alert, the more purposeful, all this stuff we're talking about, the more these psychic things become easier to command, if you will.
Absolutely. And as we've discussed, Zuckerberg's new Meta logo looks exactly like a reference to this deeper esoteric symbolism, but turned somewhat topsy-turvy. The figure eight infinity aspect is very blatant, it's obvious, and shows very clearly where they're drawing the steganography with this eighth sphere tie-in. And we get perhaps a glimpse of their aim. So you're saying if we're aware and alert, it's much harder for them to create.
Oh yeah, and your daily life, the more disciplined you are, the more alert you are. When it comes to doing something psychic, like astrally projecting, the more vivid it will become, or the more kind of control you have over where you're moving and what you're doing. So what we can manage to develop in our most mundane life, which is like totally, this is a total Gurdjieff thing, right? You know, where it's like, you know, the more that you can build something with your hands, you know, that actually translates to incredible psychic power.
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting in that regard. There was a question they put to Gurdjieff during some of these groups, and they said, well, you know, you always talk about essence and being and these people who've had this incredible essence and being, like, who have you met in daily life who had an incredible, you know, sense of being? And he said it was an Armenian guard during the Turkish-Armenian War, And he had to guard this cave to make sure no soldiers got into it. So his attention was so fixed that, and he was so aware that his sense of being grew dramatically through this exercise, even without all of the kind of spiritual accoutrements of, you know, the teachings or whatever, just his attention alone gave him this incredible sense of being. I guess that tells us a lot about development.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, in anthroposophy, they say that everybody sort of incarnates with influences. So there's sort of these demons that can attach to us that sort of represent the negative aspects of ourselves. And those attach to the astral body. And then there's these specters, and there's kind of these forces that are around us based on who we are and our energy. And so there's this idea that we're always sort of competing with these forces. And so people may not think that having an immense focus is this big spiritual thing. But when you realize that, you know, there are forces around us that may be trying to get our attention, to draw us out of body, to get us to say something, do something, live a certain way because they want that energy. And there's good ones too, obviously. We realize, you know, we're sort of surrounded by all of that.
They're searching for expression.
Right, exactly. And so there's these essences that are searching for this expression through us, this energy from us, and they're kind of, I guess, lost. You realize that, like, yeah, if you can hold your focus, that's a really big deal, because it means what? It means you have command over these influences, which is really, really powerful. You know, a lot of psychics, it's like, wow, to be a psychic. But, you know, in reality, like, you could just be getting tossed around by a lot of different things, you know?
Yes.
So it's, everyone thinks that psychic ability is the measure of incredible spirituality, when it really is not necessarily so, right?
Yeah, I want to put you on the spot for a second. If you were to recount one of your more unusual psychic experiences, and I can think of a few that you've mentioned.
Okay.
I would love you to share just a nutshell version of that.
Okay, what one were you thinking of? I live a weird life. My day is weird.
I think seeing a witch is kind of interesting.
Right. All right. Yes. So, okay. So there was this one occasion where I was in bed and I was sleeping and I was having weird dreams, like really weird dreams. And you know how sometimes you can have a dream and you're like, that's not my dream. There's like something is going on.
Yes.
And so then I hear my real name said in my ear, which is Janice. And I'm like, whoa, you know what? And I sit up in bed. And I think something was trying to actually get me out of body. And I'd never really had that experience before that was like that intense. And so I sit up in bed and I'm like, whoa. And so, like, of course, like this gray figure with literally like a witch hat on its head. Mm. It's like a murky gray figure. And it was right over top of me, like hovering, get out. And then it like went bloop, and then it went out the window.
Whoa.
And I was like, it was one of those things that was like, it was really terrifying. Like, it's hard to express that, but looking back now, it was so validating for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like, this is real. This is real.
Yes.
This is very.
How do you deal with being open to things that other people can't see?
I think it's a very isolating way to be, because there's a reality where the majority of the people that you talk to are not going to understand anything that you're talking about and probably are going to be frightened, offended, or develop some kind of thing around it. So I think for me, I just love the work so much. I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. I feel like I've just, you have to go through scary experiences because you have to know your power. You have to know what they're like. You have to know what they feel like.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You have to know what to do. And for most of my life, not most of my life, but my adult life has been like being on a mild LSD trip every day. Like really varying, it's really legitimately varying degrees of LSD trips every day. Like I will be talking to somebody and some other face just appears over top of it. Or like when we were talking on the phone, a body just appears in a tree.
Yes.
And so you have to learn to, I think, command the ability. Otherwise,
You'll get overloaded.
Yeah, you get overloaded. But you also have to live, you have to learn to live with other beings. And also, I have so many, you know, encounters with amazing, loving beings too, that I see every day, like 20 times a day. I just see them like walking by, like walking outside. Hey. You know, walking around. Yeah, just walking through the house, like just walking in the yard. So
fascinating.
You just live in a different world, and it's definitely strange and weird. But when you're in it, I suppose I was sort of maybe prepared in some way for it, you know, in different lives and things like that. But it definitely would be strange for other people, I'm sure. Yeah.
Can you see? Auras around people?
I usually will feel auras. I was never, the weird thing about me is that I was never a major clairvoyant. I was totally immersive. So I would just feel your life. Like I would just completely feel things
around
you as though I was you. Or I would just feel a color. And then it wasn't until much later that I got into seeing. Clairvoyance was the very last thing that developed for me. And then now I can, if I flip my eyes, I can see it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the feeling thing becomes a way of interpreting it, right?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was all just like pure information. Like say someone's, aura, like yellow would mean a lot of mind energy. I would just feel the mind energy and be like, oh, that person's really active in their mind, you know? And then eventually the clairvoyant stuff came. Yeah.
Fascinating. And so many people have come to you for readings over the years and learned great things. And you've interacted with them that way. You changed your style of doing psychic things so that you don't really do personal readings anymore. It's more of a broad teaching of psychic activity.
Yes, I stopped taking personal clients, I think, in 2015. I loved it. I adored it. I loved doing readings. I loved my clients. I loved the work. But I just felt this pull to teach. And I get a lot of just information coming in. Just information. And that's very different than, you know, life advice or love advice, which I love to do. But, you know, it was started to be a lot about information, and it was always very cosmic information. From the very beginning for me, it was always, all of my psychic information was always to do with planets or cosmic dynamics, ETs, always. And it was hard sometimes to place that in personal readings. And so I had this weird cosmic flair. So I had a lot of clients that were abductees and contactees, and that's how I have a lot of my opinions on interdimensionals, is through working year after years with people who were just like me with the contact stuff. So, but a lot of it ended up being information, like teachings, and I had to choose between working one-on-one with people or teaching. And then I thought, you know, I think I'll teach, and then here we are.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Do you feel that people who have alien encounters, especially contact encounters, do you think that they are inclined to have psychic abilities, or is it totally has nothing to do with that?
I think that a lot of them do. In my experience, I mean, they were coming to a psychic, so a lot of them had intuitive abilities, I would definitely say. I think that anybody who probably experiences abductions probably has ultimately something valuable to those ETs. I know that one of the things that is the most valuable was emotionality, feeling, people that could feel, people that were very compassionate, people that were very feeling. Because what ends up happening is if you go down the harmonic path, it's the path of too much mind and you lose the emotional body.
Right.
Sort of like if you go down the dark feminine road, you lose the mind and it's too much emotion, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that a lot of the abductions were with entities that had lost their emotional body or had lost some part of their humanity. For negative abductions, they were trying to regain a part of their humanity. They would choose people that they felt could do that. With higher beings, because there's, you know, we should talk about this as well. There's lots of abduction situations where you are abducted or taken by very loving interdimensional beings, and that, whether it be in dreams or various contacts that are super loving. Like that was my experience, you know. Taken on different little trips or memories and things like that and visitations and it's not negative at all. And I think for that, I think you have a connection to those beings in some way. And that you're family to them in some way. So
it's a reconnection.
It's a reconnection. Yeah.
Fascinating. Wow. Gigi, incredible. Of course, people can find your work on YouTube. Gigi Young, the incredible series that you've done relating to Atlantis, of course, and Lemuria. You've done a lot of those. You've got the whole series of In Plain Sight, which is occult symbolism in modern media and television and movies and everything else. Those things are unique. And what's the direction that you're going in now coming up with 2022?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing... I'm going to be doing some more lectures. I'd like to do a talk on the Sleeping Kings, which yes. I was kind of building up to.
That's fascinating as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of like really getting into the Arthurian mythos and the Christ connection to that and sort of like the reality of it, removing the myth and really understanding the real esoteric story and the real esoteric history and ritual behind it, returning that to humanity. Humanity already knows, but it's just opening up the discussion again. And so I'm going to be doing some more lectures, and those will always be free to the public. Even if I do them on my private platform, they'll always be posted on YouTube or whatever, whatever's going on, you know, with what's going on in the world. So yeah, and then I really kind of want to do another season of In Plain Sight as well.
No question. Those are fascinating. The visual images there that you're, that's very kind of unique. And I think, it's one of those things that you're bringing out, which is just connecting those visuals with some of the concepts. Oh, and I want to also mention to people that they can go to ggyoung.com to take part in the classes that you set up, which go the whole range from very beginning stuff to very advanced classes.
Yep, we do that. I have Inner Mystic, which is just for beginner. It's just creating a common language and developing the clairs, understanding what that is. And then I have a psychic protection course, and then I have a kind of more advanced course. And then I also do, for members, I do 2 live Q&As a month. Or you can ask anything. So if you're taking the courses, you can ask any questions that you have. There's forums that discuss intuition development and all different kinds of things. That's basically what's going on.
Fantastic. Incredible. You're going to come back on the X Series live sometime in the next couple of weeks, because we have an incredible couple of subjects to tackle. But I think today's talk, at least, we laid the foundation for a lot of this. Okay. And the Mars stuff that you're doing, I think, really opens up the UFO thing in a totally different way, along with the idea of, I think you're, did you call it bridge DNA? Where that's an interesting piece. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. So basically, we have to begin to discuss and consider the esoteric spiritual aspect of what is going on. And we have to discuss all of the grounded stuff and all of that. We cannot turn our back on that. We cannot turn our back on the push. But we now need to start weaving in the esoteric discussion. And part of that esoteric discussion, in my opinion, should center on the reality that there is a push to alter the genetics of mankind. And we now need to start looking at these, you know, elites and see what is their belief system? What is their religion? Who is their God? What do they believe? Because what we will find is that when we pull back the curtain, we pull back the layers, and we see what their belief system is, all of this will become very obvious. And we'll also understand how to stop it. It's time to really look at the esoteric nature. And with the DNA modification, I noticed something happening with actually many of the intuitives that I work with, which are actually very good intuitives in the community. And they started to come to me with very similar visions. And I'd also been having this vision, but I hadn't really wanted to say because the energy was so sensitive. And, you know, so many people are affected by this that we do have to be careful in a way in how we discuss it. But these mystics were coming to me and they were saying, Gigi, they were having the same vision. And they were like, Gigi, I'm having this vision. It is that the DNA is being changed, that human DNA is being changed to house something.
Oh boy.
To house something. And some people were seeing like gray ETs, and I was seeing that as well. And other people were just seeing like negative entities or whatever. But they're like, the human form is being changed to lower its energy, to distort its energy, to create an imbalance so that something else can come in. And then my mind just like went to these various different abductee encounters that I had heard about, where there were these abduction experiences that people were having with these gray looking beings, where the grays actually told them it's as though the human genetics were too powerful, too much soul. And the weird thing is that Alex Collier,
oh yeah,
said this as well.
Oh, interesting.
That a lot of these abduction cases are going on by beings who are trying to alter genetics, but the human genetics as we are, they're too strong. There's too much soul essence weaved into it.
Uh-huh.
And that's the first thing I thought of. And I thought, oh, wow, what if this is going on? What if this is going on to weaken the human genetics or change the human genetics to create a hybrid bridge species that can hold divergent humans, that can hold these sort of humans these beings that have taken this synthetic divergent path that can no longer have an organic body, kind of like Ahriman hanging out in the distance. He's from a divergent path of evolution, but he still wants to weave himself in here. What if these things need forms?
Wow.
What if they need forms? And what if our natural form has progressed too much past them? And I know that this is very controversial, and that's fine. I just kind of want to open the conversation, and I think we should play with this information. I think we should play with it. I think we should discuss it, because this will only be solved truly when we understand the esoteric side of this, because everything that this group does, these elites, these dark groups that shake all these hands in private, the Davos crowd, whatever, however we want to notify them, they are following a very specific religion. They right. have a very specific, as you've covered here beautifully so many times on your channel, you know, there's a belief system that they have, and it's very specific. It's a religion, and it's a specific esoterica that they hold. And everything that they do is in service to that. And if we can get that, if we can figure out what that is, if we can discuss it, we can hit it hard. But if we don't understand the esoterica behind it, if we don't understand that, we're just going to be chasing our tails.
Interesting, because what you're referring to there is a kind of occult incarnation into a human altered with synthetic biology.
Yeah, that's basically, and I mean, I actually am not very well versed on the idea of like entrapping souls, or I know that there's a whole thing about forcing incarnations, and that may actually be like an interesting show to look into.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Because it's kind of like, how does this occur? But I know that if you're changing your overall resonance,
yeah,
and we have to look like, does the spike protein crystals, does that have a very specific resonance to it that allows certain souls to incarnate, or connects humanity to a certain wavelength? Is that what we're looking at? Are there things and resonators or whatever that are actually resonating humanity into a bit of an eighth sphere place? Are we becoming things of the eighth sphere? You know, is there a genetic aspect to the eighth sphere? Do we actually have to mutate and distort ourselves? Because that's frankly what happened in Atlantis, and even in various forms of Mu. When you reach this end time, this end phase, what happens is usually there is the organic humanity that stays the same and evolves. And then there's this divergent aspect that forms because they've mutated themselves. They've degenerated. And sometimes that degeneration leads to, over time, like it leads to you look mutated over time, or you mutate yourself over time because you've degenerated so much that you have to mutate yourself in order to remain in existence. You have to start merging yourself with a machine or an animal. Lord only knows what kind of, like, what is it, Dr. Island of Moreau or something like that? Like, kind of stuff. But this, the degeneration part, there's always an aspect of humanity at the end times that degenerates.
Or so it's the Minotaur, the forehead of the human body.
In Atlantis, there was that weird mutation thing that was going on where there always is some kind of, unfortunately, like there's this degeneration that happens, and then there's these mutations that occur, and like chimeras happen and cyborgs happen, and it's just we're on the same path, you know. So
no question. So many of the traditions that deal with purity and purification, and people look back and they say, what are they so obsessed with? Purification. Well, that's clearing the stream of conscious evolution, really.
Yes. And people are like, purity, that is some kind of like religious thing to stop me from doing X, Y, and Z in my life. No, that's not true. The purity thing is exactly what you're saying. It's so that you can remain whole.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely fascinating. Bridge species, that we're definitely going to follow up on that, because.
And please, in the comment section, let us know
what
you think of this and what your theories are. This is a community project.
It's a community effort.
It's a community effort. Have you had an experience with this? Have you seen this as well? What do you think about it? Tell your friends.
Right. Absolutely fascinating. Gigi, it's great to have you here. I'm often fond of saying there's no greater ally or friend to the work that we do on this show. So thank you so much for being with me today.
It's always a pleasure. And thank you so much for having me.
It's great to see you.
Gigi, remarkable information and inspiring great insights on the eighth sphere, spiritual, psychic development, and much more. Of course, everyone can go to gigiyoung.com for more, with her very interesting site and courses available online. And we'll have you back live with us on the X Series in December, and we'll see everyone on Friday at 8 p.m. with a new episode. See you soon. Recording here.
Chugging all my water.